Good evening. I'm Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW from Blenheim.
And I'm Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL in Upper Hutt.
I'm Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO in Auckland.
And I'm Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG from Christchurch.
And I'm Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF in Nelson. And together, we bring you the NZART official broadcast for April 2017. Yes, greetings everyone. Presidential comment leads tonight's official broadcast. Reporting from Blenheim, here's our NZART President, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. Stuart?
Good evening to all listeners. After 15 months, the long-awaited Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment Radio Spectrum Management Fees Review was announced 2 weeks ago, and the news is very good. In late 2015, we were given a small time window to make a submission to the RSM fees review. Note that the fees here are not for your general user radio license that allows individuals to operate as amateurs, which is free, rather the license fee that applies to our repeaters, beacons and fixed links. There was a possibility that these fees could have been increased threefold to $150 per annum. The consequence of this to any branch that have a few licenses would have been major, and shutting down of equipment would have been inevitable. Our Administration Liaison Officer, Don Wallace, ZL2TLL, prepared a submission in the small time available on behalf of NZART, and many individual amateurs in some branches did the same. The result is that our fees are to have a small rise from $45 to $50 per annum. The fees had been $50, but there was a discount to $45 for electronic payment. That discount has gone, resulting in the small rise. A rise in fees was always going to occur at some stage, and we have been very fortunate in having it so small. If there ever was an example of the value of a well-functioning NZART to all amateurs in New Zealand, this would have to be it. So let's make the most of the excellent service that we enjoy from the equipment that these licences allow us to use. Our annual general meeting and conference hosted by the Rotorua branch is fast approaching, and you only have 2 weeks left to register before a late fee is imposed. There will be more information later in this broadcast, and it's not too late to register, so you can come along and join in the fun. Thank you, Jim, and good night.
Thank you, Stuart, the President of NZART, Stuart Watchman, ZL2TW. To NZART Conference 2017. Rotorua Branch 33 invites NZART members and their guests to the weekend conference activities in Rotorua over Queen's Birthday weekend. That's the 3rd and 4th of June. Yes, come and visit New Zealand's coolest hotspot. The venue for this year's conference is the Sirdema Hotel, located in Rotorua City, geothermal paradise. There is generous parking available at the venue during the day and night for cars and moderate-sized vehicles. Motorhomes and similar can use the car park during the day, but will need other facilities at night. An NZMCA park is located at Nongataha, and other overnight parking is available in various spots reasonably close to Rotorua City. Full details for Rotorua Conference 2017 and a registration form can be found on pages 26 and 27 of your March-April copy of Break-In. Also on the conference webpage at www.hamradio.co.nz. To ensure the best possible prices, now's the time to complete your registration and make your bookings for travel and accommodation in Rotorua. NZART 2017 Conference in Rotorua over Queen's Birthday weekend. Onwards to Upper Hutt for headquarters news, and it's a very good evening to NZART Business Manager Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL.
Good evening, Jim, and good evening, everyone. Last month, I advised I was sending out the annual circular to all branch secretaries. This was posted out last week. I have received a few inquiries as to branch affiliation for some members. The association's database is only able to store one branch. This is specifically for the purpose of voting on either remits or election of council. It is important that you advise me to which branch you wish to belong, if a member of more than one branch. If the branch affiliation is not advised at the time of the application for membership, I assign the closest possible branch in the area you reside. In cities such as Auckland, Wellington or Christchurch, where there are a number of options, I choose the generic branch of the main centre. If this is not correct, then I need either you or your branch to advise accordingly. If you are unsure what branch you may be associated with, just check your next break-in wrapper. It's printed on the right-hand side directly above the change of address details. We are now 1 month away from the annual conference. If you or your branch are not able to be present, please send me your apologies so this may be recorded at the AGM. For those branches who require a proxy, as they will not have a representative attending, please send me your votes on the remits. Lastly, after the 1st of May, I will not be able to accept any further nominations for awards. So please make sure you send them to me electronically so they will arrive in time. That's all from me, Jim. Back to you.
Thank you, Debbie. Debbie Morgan, ZL2DL, RNZART Business Manager. Now for a catch-up on international amateur radio news, we join the team at the Amateur Radio Newsline.
We open this week's newscast with word that in the global battle against the rising noise floor, amateurs in the UK are ramping up their own efforts against QRM. With those details is Amateur Radio Newsline's Ed Durant, DD5LP.
There's more than a little bit of noise being generated in the UK lately about QRM. Just as the Radio Society of Great Britain is taking Ofcom to task over the regulator's handling of complaints about man-made interference on the radio spectrum, hams, shortwave listeners, CB radio enthusiasts and others are working together to save the band's quality. The website ukqrm.org.uk hosts the organisers' campaign urging radio enthusiasts to reach out, most especially in these weeks before the UK's June 8th general election, and have candidates commit to solving the problem, even if it means dissolving Ofcom and replacing it with a new regulator. In the meantime, the website also advises all radio operators to contact Ofcom with their noise issues once they have determined the QRM is caused by something not on their property. The UK QRM website also shares ways to help track down the QRM source and report it. The rising noise floor on the bands has gained attention in numerous other countries too. Most recently in South Africa, where the South African Radio League held a study group in late April to formulate a strategy against excessive QRM. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
In the world of DX, listen for a team of operators from the UK signing as A25UK from Botswana until the 6th of May. They'll be on all bands 160 meter to 10 meter SSB, CW, and RTTY. QSLs go via M00X0. Be listening for Peter DF7DX in Vietnam from the 1st of May until the 10th. He's using the call sign 3W9DQ and is operating holiday style on 40 meters to 15 meters CW, SSB, and RTTY. Send QSL cards to his home call. The latest stop for Tom KC0W is Guatemala, and you can hear him using the call sign TG7/KC0W until May 8th. After that, be listening for him when he arrives in Guyana and uses the call sign 8R1/KC0W beginning May 10th. We end this week's newscast with a report from Australia where it seems scientists are back in the satellite business. We hear the details from Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
There's an awful lot of pride lately among scientists and satellite enthusiasts in Australia now that the first new satellites to be built in that nation in 15 years have been launched by NASA at Cape Canaveral. The miniaturized research satellites were developed by university-based teams at the University of New South Wales, the University of Sydney, the Australian National University, the University of Adelaide, and the University of South Australia. Lifting off from Cape Canaveral on April 18, the Australian satellite projects were designed to help gain an understanding of climate and weather systems by studying the Earth's thermosphere. Andrew Dempster, Australian Centre for Space Engineering Research Director at the University of New South Wales, said the only two Australian satellite launches before this were in 1967 and 2002. Ivor Cairns from the University of Sydney was present at the launch and told reporters he considered it a big day for Australian space research. He said he was especially proud that the three satellites would be the first from Australia going to the International Space Station for deployment. all of that leaves a pretty good feeling in the land down under for what's about to be accomplished up over. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2017. All rights reserved.
And as always, we say thank you to Newsline for the use of their copyright material. The Branch 89 NZART Radio Electronics Group Incorporated will be holding their annual equipment sale and trade talk on Saturday, the 20th of May. The venue will be the Glenview Club, located at 211 Peacocks Road, Glenview in Hamilton. Doors open for vendors at 8:30 a.m. and for buyers and the public at 10 a.m. There will be a $2 lucky ticket entry charge. There'll be a trade display, certainly refreshments and door prizes. The venue has easy access, plenty of parking, and remember, motorhomes are welcome at $10 per night. For vendor registration and inquiries, contact Trevor ZL4GJ. Phone 021 177 5710. 021 177 5710. Or you can email to trevnz04@gmail.com. trevnz04@gmail.com. That's the Branch 89 Radio Electronics Group annual equipment sale and trade talk in Hamilton on Saturday, the 20th of May. It's time for WARO News now, and a very good evening to Rosemary ZL1RO.
Thanks, Jim, and hello, everyone. The WARO Annual General Meeting will be held on Sunday the 4th of June at the NZART Conference Venue, the Sudama Hotel in Rotorua. I'll confirm the meeting start time in the May official broadcast. All WARO members by now should have received their bulletin, and included is a nomination form for positions on the WARO Executive. We urge you to consider volunteering for office or encouraging someone else to offer their services. There are vacancies to be filled at the AGM, and we would welcome new people on our committee. You do not have to be at the AGM for the election to the committee. Just sign the nomination form and return it to the address on the form as soon as possible. Sadly, I have to report that AOLA, ZL1ALE, has recently become a silent key. AOLA first became licensed as an amateur radio operator in April 1966 and came on the air using the call ZL1TFO. She held this for 6 months before passing the 12 words a minute Morse exam when she swapped that call to ZL1ALE. 6 months later, she upgraded again, passing her 15 words a minute Morse and getting her high frequency permit. It was about this time, though, that AOLA's greatest success in amateur radio was achieved, DXCC, an international award sponsored by the Americans, and to gain this you had to work and have confirmed 100 amateurs in 100 different countries. Not satisfied with that, she went on spending hours and hours on air working all the rest of the countries she hadn't already worked. When there were only 10 left, she was awarded a place on the honours board, the only New Zealand lady operator to do so. Of recent times, AOLA had not been so active, but did enjoy only a few weeks ago attending the ZL1 ladies' get-together at the home of Celia Reid, ZL1ALK, with her daughter Carol, ZL1AJL, and others. Amateur radio has lost a long-serving member, and we at WARO have lost one of our very early and long-serving supporters. That's all for April, Jim. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Rosemary. Reporting for WARO, Rosemary Bosher, ZL1RO. News tonight from Glenn ZL2KZ, the Sangster Shield Contest Manager. This year's contest is the 90th anniversary of the New Zealand Radio Shield Contest, first held in 1927. The contest became known as the Sangster Shield from 1933. This year's dates for the contest are Saturday 20th and Sunday 21st of May, running from 2000 hours to 2300 hours New Zealand Standard Time. There are 6 half-hour scoring periods each night. That's 6 half-hour scoring periods on each night. The information regarding operating periods in the contest column of March-April break-in is incorrect. The contest is 80 metres CW only and restricted to 5 watts PEP or less output power for New Zealand entrants. Overseas stations may use up to their legal power limit. The exchange, cipher, is unchanged from last year. RST plus contact serial number plus branch number, e.g. 599001/50. Use the branch number of your location, regardless of whether this is currently active or in recess. If you're going to work from different locations each night, please use one branch number and stick to it for both nights. Operating just one night or for limited periods is also fine, as we'd prefer to have as many stations on the air as possible. The Sangster Shield rules are printed in April-May 2016 break-in and on the NZRT website. NZRT, activities, rules, and then rules for the Sangster Shield. Logs may be emailed to sangster@nzart.org.nz. sangster@nzart.org.nz or posted to Glenn's at L2KZ's address as detailed in the contest rules. So that's the Sangster Shield 80 metres CW contest on the 20th and the 21st of May. Finally, in tonight's official broadcast, it's time for Branch News. Here's Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG.
Thanks, Jim, and good evening, everyone. We start from the 29er, newsletter of North Shore Branch 29 NZART. The next meeting is on Monday, the 1st of May, starting 7:30 p.m. at the clubrooms at 400 East Coast Road in Sunninook, on the North Shore, of course. The meeting will consider NZART conference remits. Western Suburbs Radio Club Branch 03 has its next meeting on Saturday the 27th of May at the clubrooms at 3000 Great North Road, which is in New Lynn. Gary Chapman from SimPower will talk about batteries. To Auckland Branch 02, where the next meeting is on Saturday the 20th of May at the clubrooms at 400 St John's Road in St Heliers. There'll be a demonstration of DMR as well as discussion and voting on NZART remits. Hutt Valley Branch 18 NZART has its next meeting on Monday the 1st of May at the clubrooms in the Philip Evans Reserve starting 7:30 p.m. Doug is running this month's meeting, a ham quiz night. Please come along with a pen and pencil and test your skills. In addition, there will be a discussion on NZART conference remits as presented in the March and April issue of Break-In. And just a reminder that there's a daytime meeting at the clubrooms at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday the 24th of May. Down to the South Island in Christchurch, Branch 05 has its next meeting on Wednesday the 3rd of May at the clubrooms at 5 Idris Road in Fendleton. There'll be a discussion on NZART conference remits, followed by a showing of a DVD. Finally, to Otago Branch 30, where meetings are held at the clubrooms in McAndrew Road in South Dunedin. On Wednesday, May the 3rd, there'll be a brief presentation from all Make a Radio Project participants, where members get to judge each on its merits. May the 10th is a construction night, and on Wednesday, May the 17th, Peter, ZL4LV, will give a talk on the history of valves or vacuum tubes, from the smallest to some rather large transmitting versions. Well, that's all from me. Back to you, Jim.
And thank you, Stephen. Stephen McNeil, ZL4HG, reporting from Christchurch. The next official broadcast of NZART will be made by ZL6A at 8 p.m. on Sunday, the 28th of May. This is ZL6A, headquarters station of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, concluding the official broadcast for April 2017. Good night, everyone. Good night now.